This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere that you get podcasts. Today we're taking a little divergence from the usual that we like to discuss, the revolution here and anti-capitalism, and we're just purely talking about Halloween and scares and other things that I'm passionate about. And one of the things I really love is the lower budget found footage horror films. So I have a local movie producer here with me today, Nigel Bach. Welcome to the show, Nigel.
Thank you for asking me to come in, Heather. I appreciate it. And I will tell you this much, that this is about as low budget as they get.
So I discovered the original. You've produced, I think, 4 movies so far, but the original was called Bad Ben.
Right. Actually, 5.
5. Okay. I think I've missed one then. But originally, I didn't even know you were a local South Jersey content producer when I started watching it. And then I hear him say Steelmanville Road. I'm like, hey, that road looks kind of familiar. And then he says Atlantic City Electric. I'm like, wait, this guy's like a few miles down the road from me here. So that was very cool to find out that there's somebody making found footage horror movies down here in my neck of South Jersey. So it's very cool.
Well,
if you decide to make a horror film, you're not like a younger man, you're not straight out of film school. What made you decide, I'm going to make horror films?
I'm not a younger man. Had I known you were going to insult me, I never would have agreed to this. Actually, I'll tell you how this all came together. I had been making television commercials for Comcast Xfinity as an independent contractor. So I had a bunch of cameras, and I've also been a screenwriter, and I should say an aspiring screenwriter. I've written many screenplays, and I've been in the process of pitching them. But that can get a little discouraging because quite often it comes down to pure luck. If you don't have a family member in the business or something to give you a leap forward. So I had these cameras and I was writing screenplays, and friends always used to say to me, Nigel, you ought to make your own movie. But what most people don't understand is just because you own a camera doesn't mean you can make Avatar. But what I did know was that with the cameras I had, I could make something that looked like a found footage film because they're designed to look like they're shot on an average camera. So I decided I would take that direction. So my idea was for 10 years, I actually took care of my mother in this home, and I had installed surveillance cameras so that when I was out of the home, I could keep an eye on her and the home health aides, and just make sure everything was right at home, like a lot of people do with nanny cams and that.
Right, yeah.
I would quite often at night, I would look at the cameras on my phone, and I would say, man, wouldn't it be creepy if something walked across the screen while I'm looking at it? And so I always kind of had that idea in the back of my mind. But when I finally decided I was going to make a found footage film, The initial idea I had fell apart. I had put an ad on a website called Mandy.com in New York, and I rounded up 5 actors, and it was supposed to have a female lead, and she was supposed to be a college-age student, home alone because her parents went away, and her boyfriend comes over, and they invite friends over. And one by one, they were getting snatched up by, and since you're local, you'll know the story of the Jersey Devil.
Yes.
They were getting snatched up by the Jersey Devil. So as the time approached in May of 2016 to shoot this, one by one, the actors disappeared. They dropped out. And on the Thursday before we were supposed to start shooting that Saturday, I had one actor left, the female.
Okay.
I'm driving home in a pouring rainstorm, and I get a text, and it's the female actor, and she says, moving to L.A., can't be in your film, good luck. And I said, shit, and I just dropped the phone on my passenger seat, and I'm like, I give up. About 30 seconds pass, and I snatch the phone up, and I start recording myself on video. And I said, here I am on my way home from settlement on the house I bought at a sheriff's sale on Steelmanville Road. And I pull in my driveway, and I say, there it is. Not bad for a sheriff's sale. And that decision I made in those 30 seconds from going from I give up to let me film myself, in one take, that became the opening scene to Bad Men.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love those serendipitous things.
Well, then I had to think. I had to think, who's going to want to watch a 50-year-old bald fat guy running around his house getting tormented by demons or ghosts or whatever? But I kept shooting. So that day, I also shot the scene where I walk in the house and there's no power and I'm calling the electric company, and that's where he heard me mention Atlantic Electric, and I walk out. But after that scene, I actually shot the final scene, which was where I get pulled down the steps by the whatever's in the basement and drug across the floor by the chain. And what I did from that point was, point A was where I arrive at the house for the first time. And the end point was where I got drugged down into the basement and the movie ended. So I just connected the two points. And the beauty of working in your own house is you can shoot whenever you want. The second part of it is that I could get up at 2 a.m. with an idea, because there was no screenplay for this. I just shot through everything in there. There were ghosts, there was demons, there was something in the basement. And so I put it all together and I just shot it in pieces. And that was in May of 2016. And I got it done in a little over 3 weeks. And my plan was, I have a friend that's in the industry. And when I say you have a friend in the industry, you should think that should give you an edge. It doesn't, because very few people are willing to stake their reputation on somebody else's work. But he did tell me there was this huge film festival out in LA, and it was for horror films, and it runs in October, and that was where the film Paranormal Activity was bought. And he said that production companies or distribution companies come there with fat checkbooks, and that's who bought Paranormal Activity and then distributed it. So on June the 12th, I submitted Bad Men to the film festival, and I paid my fee. And they told you that you won't be notified until September 30th, whether you've been accepted or not. So, and they waited till the very last day. On September 30th, I got an email that says, thank you for your submittal, but we're not interested.
Aww.
Now, what they didn't know was that in order to submit a film to them, you have to submit a YouTube link, a private link, so that they can screen your film. And what they didn't know that I knew was that Google Analytics allows you to look at who's watched your film and for how long they've watched it. So because it was a private link, there was only one person or one location that viewed the film. It was Los Angeles. And I was able to see that they watched the film for 12 minutes. So they didn't even watch the film.
Yeah, that sucks for sure.
So after everything, you know, has a silver lining, because I thought to myself at that time, should I respond? And I said, you know what, I'm going to. So I wrote them back an email and I said, you know what, I'm a big boy and I can accept the fact that it wasn't something you were interested in, but you only watched 12 minutes of the film. And that caught them off guard, and they responded, oh, no, we watched the whole thing. I said, no, you didn't. And I sent them a screenshot of that showed how long they watched it. So I bet they haven't made that mistake again. I bet since then they've probably at least let the film run, even if they weren't interested in it. But anyway, so it's already October, and October's the month you want to release a horror film. So Amazon had this program. At the time, it was called Amazon Video Direct. Now it's called Prime Video Direct. And it's almost like YouTube. But if you had a choice of uploading a movie to YouTube or to Amazon. Amazon just looks so much bigger.
And right, Amazon's a massive company.
Plus, it's on every television, Roku, anybody that's got access to streaming can watch a movie on Amazon. So I uploaded it, and my expectations were low. I thought that maybe over the course of time, I might get, you know, a couple thousand minutes streamed. But the first night it went up, I remember I was sitting right where I am now. And after dinner, I would come down to my basement, and there's a wood stove down here where I'm at, and I would smoke a cigar. And my roommate, Holly, was sitting next to me, and I'm searching Amazon, and there it is, Bad Ben's on Amazon. And I went, oh my God, it's there. So I watched the numbers over the next couple days and saw 300 minutes streamed, then 3,000 minutes streamed. And before I knew it, the film was streaming 50, 60,000 minutes a day. And Heather, nobody was more surprised by that than I was.
So I think I do want to touch a little bit more about what the movie is, because it's really just you, this South Jersey guy walking around your house, often in your underwear, being pissed off and cursing that your house is haunted. It's really kind of the premise of the movie, which is so different from anything I've seen before.
Yeah, me in my underwear was the real treat. but yeah, what I did was the movie has my character, Tom Riley, who has bought a house at a sheriff's sale. And when he comes into the house, all the previous owners belong, the house is fully furnished. All the previous owners' belongings are there. And the first night when he arrives, there's no power. So he goes out to get dinner after calling the electric company, and he comes back and power's turned on. But when he returns, everything's disheveled in the foyer of the house. There's an artificial plant that's overturned, a ladder thrown down, chairs are pulled in front of the basement door, but the basement door is open. And my character goes and he looks down, he hears a loud bang, and it kind of freaks him out. But he thinks some kids have broken in the house. And that they were used to having run of the house while it sat vacant. So he notices that there are security cameras all over the inside of the house. So he calls the company that used to provide the monitoring of the cameras, and he gets the system turned back on, and it allows me to watch on my phone and see the recordings. And my plan is that I'm going to be able to catch whoever's breaking in the home. And I soon realized that nobody's breaking in the home. I'm seeing furniture moving. I'm seeing stuff happening that isn't happening as a result of people breaking in the house. And I also discovered this toy. It's a music box that I am able to communicate with whatever malevolent spirits, or I don't know that they're bad spirits at the time, are in the home. And I'm able to communicate with it. And every time the answer is an affirmative, the music box will play. When it's a negative, it just does nothing. So that's when I realized that something really freaky is up. But my character...
Generally, it pisses you off.
Right. And my character has poured every cent he has into this home, buying this home. And he's not about to give up without a fight. Like most people, even myself, when you watch a horror movie, you'd say, why would you stay there? Why would you get out? Well, my character didn't want to get out because he would lose everything. His goal was to try to somehow cleanse the house and get it free of anything and turn around and flip this and make a profit. Well, in the end, whatever's in the – I break into that room – and there's a creature in there that chases me up the steps, and you see me get drugged down the steps, and then drug what appears to be to my death across the floor. And that's where the movie ends.
So what, if you don't mind sharing, what was your budget for this first movie that you did? Did you even have a budget, or was it just stuff you had?
I didn't have a budget, but I spent $300.
And I'm assuming you more than got a return on that investment.
I did. The film has streamed over 60 million minutes on Amazon. And nobody is more shocked about that than I am. It was actually, the film would have cost me $225 because I bought a harness to wear, like people that climb trees and work on roofs. Uh-huh. I bought that at Home Depot. I needed that to attach the chain to where I got drug across the floor. And I would have returned it, but I stained it with fake blood. So I couldn't.
And since then, you've made four more movies, you said. Like, I think I've missed one, but a few of them keep centering on, well, all of them, I guess, center on this house and different experiences in the house. Do you want to tell me about your other movies, too?
When I was making Bad Ben, I thought I was making a horror film. And when people started reviewing it, they found the Tom Riley character hysterical.
Absolutely.
They found it creepy, but they found Tom Riley funny. And I wasn't trying to be, but I was just, a lot of people say, oh, that Philly accent. And I actually don't know what a Philly accent is. I've been born and raised in South Jersey. But just my reactions to saying things like, stop it, when the chair wouldn't stop moving. And a funny side note on that, a friend of mine was in the basement pulling the string, which would make that chair slide across the floor. And I told him, when I walk up to the chair, I need you to pull that string, and I'm going to pull the chair back in place. He said, okay. Well, when I walked up to that chair, he pulls it. I pull it back in place. He pulls it again. I pull it back, and he pulls it again. And you'll notice I keep my hand on the chair, and the chair jumps up because he's pulling the string. And I said, stop it, because I wanted him to stop pulling it.
But that ultimately ended up in the movie.
Right. So as I faced these demons and these ghosts and all, people found it a comedy. So what I decided, everybody would ask questions like, why were there all these cameras in the home and everything? So I decided to shoot a prequel called Steelmanville Road. That might be the one you're missing because it has a different title. But Steelmanville Road, I decided to make a darker, more serious film. And I hired actors this time. Chris and Jessica Partridge are a married couple. And Ian Mullen, Gene Sutton, and, oh God, I can't, Alex Palin. They are all members of an acting troupe. And so I got them all together and put together this film that told the backstory, how the cameras got put up. And the reason the cameras got pulled up was the characters of Rachel and Matt inherited the house. Rachel's mother, and this is Steelmanville Road, Rachel's biological mother, who she never met because she was adopted, left her this house. So they move into this house, and almost immediately stuff starts happening. Rachel's experiencing stuff moving and hearing sounds outside, and it's really creepy, and she's scared. So Matt has a friend of his, Silas, install these cameras in the home to keep an eye. Well, first outside the home to keep an eye on things while he's away. Things keep happening, so Silas adds more cameras inside the home. And that's when you begin to see what she's experiencing. Rachel happens to be the last descendant of, living female descendant of the Jersey Devil. Now, the Jersey Devil is, to back up a minute, I was told when I was a kid that my great-great-great-great-great-great uncle was the Jersey Devil. And I've come to find out that just about everybody in this area was told they were a relative of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, my husband has been told the same story, that he's related to the Jersey Devil.
Well, the reason most of us were told that is because our parents wanted us to come inside at night. So if we believed the Jersey Devil was out there, we wouldn't hang outside at night. We'd get in the house. So anyway, in this story, the story of the Jersey Devil is that Sarah Leeds had had 12 children back in the, this was the late 1800s. She had had 12 children, and every one of them was a painful delivery and child, you know, she went through a lot of physical problems, but she had all these kids. And she said, the only way I could, God would let me get pregnant a 13th time would be if the devil himself were the father. So she got pregnant. And at the end of her pregnancy, suddenly she's not pregnant anymore, but there's no baby. And women visited from the church, went up to see her in her room, and she exposed her breast and showed claw marks on her breast. And she says, I gave birth to this thing that sprouted wings and flew out the window. And every night it comes back to feed. And that's when she shows them the claw marks. So that's the story behind the Jersey Devil. So now I took that there's this, I mean, folklore has it, especially in the Smithville Leeds Point area, that the Jersey Devil wanders the Pine Barrens. So in my story, Steelmanville Road, I had it that he would, I mean, he was a living creature that would age and die, but to carry on, he would mate with a female member of the of his family to carry on the bloodline. So he had inbreeding I threw in there to make it a little disgusting. But now what was interesting,
so that's much darker than
well, yeah, and what I learned from this process is that the fans didn't like it. They loved Bad Ben, but they didn't like Steelmanville Road because it was so serious and so dark. Now since then, Steelmanville Road has gone on to find its own audience, which is a different audience. But the fans of Bad Ben wanted Tom Riley cursing his head off, yelling at whatever's in the house, and they didn't have it. So that led us to the third film, Badder Ben.
And Badder, which I also saw and was hilarious.
Badder Ben.
Embrace the comedy in that one.
We said at that point, I said, you know, if they want comedy, let's embrace the comedy. So it appeared as if I died at the end of Bad Ben, which was my intention that I died. But what I did was I brought Tom Riley back by having the premise to this was a group of paranormal investigators played by Matt Schmid and Jackie Baker, who are a comedy improv team. They do sketch comedy in Philadelphia. Extremely talented, extremely funny. And David Greenberg played the director, but they together made up a team of paranormal investigators that were coming back to the house on Steelmanville Road. And again, I used my house. And the reason I keep using my house is I don't have to rent it. So I come back to, they come to the house. I've also come to realize that besides me being the star of these films, and for me to say that is tough to say I'm the star, but my character, Tom Riley, is what the fans like. But in addition to me, the house became a celebrity. So just like in Amityville Horror, they're always back in the same house. So Matt and Jackie come to the house, and Jackie breaks in, finds one of the security cameras that has onboard memory, and she steals it. She gets together with David, the producer, director, and Schmitty, and they review the footage, and it opens up where you see the basement door open like it was at the end of Bad Ben, and you hear steps up the stairs, and I walk up, and I collapse onto the floor, having survived the attack. Chain still wrapped around my neck, all bloodied, and I walk out. So they're like, he's still alive. So they track me down, and I don't want to come back to the house, but I agree to because they're paying me, and I have nothing because I've lost the house. And I come back to the house, and they do a documentary. And we really embraced the comedy here. It was a comedy, and fans got a lot of enjoyment out of that film. And at the end, we all survived, and spoiler, but we all survived. And my character actually contemplates becoming a paranormal investigator. And that led me to a little, I dived into an animation, and I made a like a 12-15 minute animation called Tom Riley Paranormal Investigator. And it was me going out on my own, and that was called The Witch Bitch. And I investigate this, or I'm drawn to this castle, and I fight the witch bitch. And this was pure comedy. It was a lot of fun to do, but animation is very time consuming when you're right. a one man show. So it wasn't as popular as the others. It too has its own audience, but it's just, I decided from that experience to, at least for the time being, stick to making movies. Which led me to Bad Ben, the Mandela Effect. The Mandela Effect, a friend of mine one day says to me, "Did you ever hear of the Mandela Effect?" I said, "No." And he says, "You remember that movie where Sinbad was in it and he played a genie?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that." And he says, "It never happened." I said, "Yes, it did. I remember it came out about the same time Shaquille O'Neal played Shazam." And he says to me, "Nigel, it never happened. They never made a movie with Sinbad as a genie." And I'm like, "Your ass." So I look it up, and they never made a movie with Sinbad as the genie. And I looked up the Mandela Effect, and it talks about all these different things. They're basically parallel universes. Like in some universe, they did make a movie. And they bleed over into our present, whatever state we're in. And we have memories of something that didn't happen in this universe. So what I did, I took the premise of Bad Ben, which was Tom Riley coming to the home, and I played it over and over again with different experiences each time. And he begins to recall having been through this before, and he winds up, the very last time he shows up at the house, he realizes that he's been there before and it didn't go good. And he says, "Screw this," and he turns around and he walks out.
Which finally brings us to your most recent film, The Crescent Moon Clown. Now, disclaimer, I hate clowns. I am terrified of clowns. So this one was hard, you know, for me to, like, I'm sitting there the whole movie just waiting, like, oh, I know the clown's coming. Why clowns? Seriously.
Well, there was a scene in The Mandela Effect where I walk outside of the home, and all of a sudden the clown pops up in front of the surveillance camera. And when I was editing this, I looked at that and I said, "You know what? This doesn't fit in this film, so I'm going to take it out." But my roommate Holly says to me, "Oh, you can't take that out. It's great. It's so scary, that clown popping up." Well, she wasn't alone in thinking that, because I did leave it in because of her. And I got so many comments about, "Oh my God, the clown, the clown, the clown." So that's how I decided to make the fifth movie called The Crescent Moon Clown, featuring the clown that popped up there for a few seconds in The Mandela Effect. And this film basically delves into it's back into the house with new owners. And in this case, it's the lead actor is a female named Jetta Anderson, who was in her first ever film. And I had a casting call, and I auditioned like 8 or 9 people. But the moment, and she was just 20 years old. She just turned 21, but she's 20 years old. And the moment she auditioned, having never been in any film before, I said, this is my character. So she is just come home from college alone. Her parents are across the country packing up and moving an aunt who's going to come live with them. And she's alone in the house, and weird stuff starts happening. And she thinks it's her friends pranking her. And she goes through a series of events. Well, she discovers her very first night there, when she takes her suitcase into the basement, she finds a locked box. And when she unlocks the box, she breaks into it. She finds it's filled with ashes, and there's a clown doll in the ashes underneath a cross laying on top of it. Well, that was somebody previously had secured the clown in there to keep it from haunting or doing whatever it does. But it smelled really bad, so she took it outside. The clown was loose, and it went on to become a full-size version, moving version of that doll. And that's what was tormenting her throughout the movie, along with there's a witch character in there. And she is dealing with this for the whole 86 minutes. But in the last few minutes, it kind of takes a humorous turn. But because it's so new right now at the time of your broadcast, I'm not going to delve into that a whole lot.
Yeah, it's best if we just let people watch it for themselves and appreciate it as it plays out.
But this film is 76 of the 86 minutes is very creepy. So, and that was the Crescent Moon Clown.
So what's next for you? Are you going to keep making movies?
Well, actually, I've told the fans whenever I do a Facebook Live broadcast, which gets quite animated sometimes, and I say in the comments all the time, I say, as long as you keep watching, I'll keep making. Because I'm not making these things just for myself to watch. I'm hoping as long as other people get enjoyment out of them and continue to stream and watch, it earns me an income, so I'll continue making them. And the way things are going, there is actually a plan to make one more, and at least one more, and we'll see how it goes. I'm not sure. Well, actually, I have a plan for two more. One of them occurs in this house again. The other one occurs off-site with Tom Riley as the paranormal investigator. And Tom Riley, my character, I equate him to like Michael in The Office, where Steve Carell thinks he's so smart, but he's basically an idiot. And that's who Tom Riley is. That's who I am. I'm good at playing an idiot, I guess.
I feel like I should volunteer my house. Do you want to come out and haunt my house with Tom Riley?
Sure. You know, that's the number one question I get asked. Actually, there's a couple common questions. Is the house haunted? And I tell them no. They ask me if I believe in ghosts. And I hate to answer this, but I really don't. I mean, I do believe in unexplained phenomenon. And that's only because there's no explanation for it yet. But I'd like to think that when my time comes, that I take my last breath on Earth, either everything goes black or I go to a better place, that I don't hang around and walk around haunting people.
Haunting Steelmanville Road.
The other questions I get asked is, what's the phone next to the front door?
I was going to think about asking you that question. Why do you have a phone next to your front door?
Well, actually, when you pick that phone up, there is no dial pad, and it automatically dials my cell phone. So if I'm in the basement, the house is a big house. If I'm in the basement or out back or not home and somebody comes to the house, when they pick up that phone, it rings me wherever I am. And because of the camera, I can see who's there. And I can tell them either, hang on, I'll be right up to answer the door, or I'll be right in, or I'll be right home. So that's why the phone's there.
Do you get people just showing up at your house, like now that you've kind of made it a minor celebrity locally here?
No, what I have had happen is I have seen people pull in the driveway, get out of their car, and take a selfie with the house in the background. So that's pretty funny. But nobody's shown up at the house, which is a good thing because I own weapons.
So would you recommend people follow their passions and get into filmmaking no matter what, that really don't let things stop you, that you're having a good time with us?
Absolutely. And the reason I got into it was because I got tired of the mainstream Hollywood bullshit. When you get tired of trying to break in, first of all, there's so many rules. People tell you how a screenplay should be written. Something's supposed to happen on page 3, on page 10, on page 30, on page 45, 70, 90. It's all supposed to be structured. Horror films, though, throughout the industry, don't follow that structure. You can do anything. But I only did a horror film because I knew that this found footage film was capable of being done. And I said, hey, I'll be the director. I'm not working for anybody here. Now I'm working for the fans. The first one I made, I wasn't working for anybody. I put it together. So sometimes, one of the things I've come to realize is people a lot of times will ask for feedback or an opinion of something they've done. And the opinion they get, people often think when they're asked their opinion, they're meant to somehow criticize something. Well, a lot of times people will also tell somebody, oh, you can't do that or whatever. Well, if I had broadcast that I was doing this, out of 100 people I would ask, 99 of them would have said, you can't do that. And one of them, which would probably have been a family member, would have said, oh, yeah, you could do that. So I just did it. And I uploaded it. There's avenues out there to upload it. Amazon is this Prime Video Direct is an outstanding opportunity. And Heather, the fact of it is today with cell phone technology being what it is, almost everybody owns a camera capable of shooting a film. And what you have to do is when I shot Bad Ben, the reason I picked a found footage film was they have a huge following. And it's a genre that's very popular. My distributor owns a website called foundfootagecritic.com and also povhorror.com. Found Footage Critic is the largest database of found footage films in the world and considered by the industry the go-to place for found footage films. So it's got a huge following, and that's what I decided to make. But like I said, anybody that has a cell phone nowadays has a camera capable of shooting a film off. They've got a few bucks to invest. You don't have to spend a fortune. You can buy a camera that you can shoot on if you don't want to use your phone. You put it together, you edit it. Have a story, though. You want to have somewhat of a story that might be compelling. And whether you're making a documentary, a comedy, chances are something that makes you laugh makes other people laugh. Do it. Put it together. Instead of uploading these for free on YouTube or trying to get views to make a few bucks off that after you have 1,000 followers, they've changed their rules quite a bit, YouTube. But follow your dreams, do it, and find a home for it. Your dreams aren't other people's dreams. Put them together yourself and do something with it. That's what I did. And like I said, the 60 million plus minutes this film has streamed shocks nobody more than me, and it's just because sometimes people like the same thing you like, and you can be surprised, because I know I was.
I think that's a perfect place to wrap it up today. Do you have any last words or last plugs you want to get in before we call it a day here?
Keep watching. I need them streaming minutes. Heather, I was going to say thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. To my listeners, I want to thank you so much for being here and celebrating Halloween with me. I know this is not what you're usually expecting. We aren't planning to overthrow any governments here today, but we're just getting a good scare on Halloween, which if you follow me on Facebook, you know I love costumes. Half of my photos are me in costume drinking wine, usually. So it's so good. I'm glad you joined me for this. And remember, we are totally not the mainstream media. We do not take any corporate money here. We rely totally on donations from you guys. So if you go onto our website, www.njrevolutionradio.com, click on that donate button. We just had a great live event up in Montclair. You guys really came through to help us put that together. And we want to keep having different things for you. Maybe, more interviews with local filmmakers, local artists, things like that. Whatever it is, we want to provide it for you, and we need your help. And we appreciate it so much. Thank you for joining me again today. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.